The sound of the bond shattering was not a whisper. It was the sickening crack of breaking bone that echoed through the great hall. Silas stood before the high altar, his golden eyes cold and devoid of the love that once burned for her. "You are a weakling, Genevieve," he sneered, his voice amplifying over the murmurs of the Blackwood pack. "And I will not tie my legacy to an Omega's blood, nor the pathetic bastard in your womb. I reject you." He turned to the stunning, cruel-smiling noblewoman at his side. He didn't know the child she carried was not a bastard, but the final, terrifying weapon of a slaughtered dynasty. And he had just unleashed her. The winter winds of Ethelgard carried the scent of iron, wood smoke, and an impending execution. It was the feast of the winter solstice, a time traditionally meant for the strengthening of pack bonds and the naming of new heirs. The great hall, carved entirely from the obsidian bedrock of the northern mountains, was packed with the elite of the Blackwood pack, tapestries bearing the snarling black wolf of Silas's family line hung from the rafters, casting long, suffocating shadows over the stone floor. Genevieve stood at the base of the dais, trembling. She was 19, dressed in a faded wool gown that offered no protection against the draft, nor the hundreds of hostile eyes burning into her back. For 2 years, she had been Silas's secret. They had met in the castle gardens when he was just the Alpha's rebellious son, and she was a scullery maid, an orphaned Omega with no family name and no standing. In the dark, he had whispered promises of defiance, swearing that when he took the mantle of Alpha, he would upend the archaic class systems of their kind. He had claimed her in the shadows, leaving his mark on her soul, if not her skin. But power is a virulent poison. When Silas's father died in a border skirmish 3 months ago, the title of Alpha fell onto Silas's shoulders. The transition was brutal. The neighboring packs sensed weakness, and the inner council of elders demanded stability. Stability in their medieval world meant a powerful alliance. It meant Arabella Croft. Arabella stood on the dais now, her arm laced intimately through Silas's. She was the daughter of the brutal Crimson Ridge Alpha, a woman known for her ruthlessness and her pure, untainted Alpha bloodline. She wore a gown of deep crimson velvet, her posture radiating a triumphant, venomous pride as she looked down at Genevieve. "Genevieve of nowhere!" Silas's voice boomed, bouncing off the vaulted ceilings. The hall fell deathly silent. "You stand before the Pack Council, accused of attempting to deceive the Alpha line. You claim the child you carry is mine." Genevieve's hands instinctively went to her slightly rounded stomach. She felt the faint, frantic flutter of life within her. "It is not a claim, Silas," she said, her voice cracking, but carrying a desperate strength. "You know it is the truth. Before the goddess, you know it." A cruel ripple of laughter moved through the council members seated behind the long oak tables. Lord Reginald, a scarred elder who had engineered this union with Arabella, sneered. "An Omega carrying an Alpha's pup? The biology alone is a joke. She would die in childbirth, assuming the pup doesn't consume her frailty first." Silas didn't look at her with guilt. That was what broke Genevieve's heart the most. He looked at her with irritation, as if she were a mess a servant had forgotten to clean up. "I have made my choice for the survival of Ethelgard," Silas proclaimed, his voice laced with the unnatural compulsion of his Alpha tone. It forced the weaker wolves in the room to lower their heads. Genevieve's knees buckled under the supernatural weight, but she fought the urge to kneel, gritting her teeth until she tasted copper. "I, Silas Blackwood, Alpha of Ethelgard, hereby sever all ties, formal or informal, with the Omega Genevieve. I declare her bloodline weak, her presence a stain upon our territory. I reject you as a mate, I reject you as a pack member, and I banish you to the Howling Fjord. If you are found within my borders by sunrise, you will be hunted and killed." The words were not just a decree, they were a physical assault. The mate bond, though incomplete without the final bite, had already taken root in Genevieve's soul. When Silas spoke the rejection, it felt as though a serrated blade had been dragged through her chest, hooking her heart and ripping it violently outward. Genevieve screamed. It was a harrowing, guttural sound that made even Arabella flinch. Genevieve collapsed onto the cold obsidian floor, convulsing as the spiritual connection was violently cauterized. Blood trickled from her nose and ears. Through the haze of agonizing pain, she clutched her womb. The baby was thrashing, reacting to the trauma of its father's absolute abandonment. "Silas, please!" she gasped, staring up through tear-blurred eyes. "The winter, it's death out there. For the child." "Then let the snow claim its own," Arabella interjected, her voice smooth like poisoned honey. She leaned forward, her eyes flashing a predatory yellow. "Guards, escort the stray to the gates. Strip her of any pack garments. She leaves with only the rags on her back." Rough hands grabbed Genevieve by the arms, dragging her limp body across the rough stone. She didn't have the strength to fight back. As she was hauled backward through the massive iron-studded oak doors, her final sight of the man she loved was Silas pulling Arabella into a passionate kiss, sealing his new alliance and signing Genevieve's death warrant. The guards threw her into the snowbank outside the fortress walls. The heavy iron gates slammed shut with a deafening finality, the locking mechanisms grinding into place. She was alone. Above her, the sky was a canvas of oppressive, bruised purple clouds, heavy with an impending blizzard. Beyond the tree line lay the Howling Fjord, a wasteland of jagged ice and feral beasts where no exiled wolf had ever survived. Genevieve curled into a tight ball, wrapping her thin, trembling arms around her stomach. The physical pain of the broken bond was a constant, throbbing agony, a phantom limb that had been hacked away. She closed her eyes, preparing to let the freezing numbness take her. No. It wasn't a word spoken aloud, but a deep, resonant hum that vibrated from her womb. A sudden wave of heat, unnatural and intense, bloomed in her center. It pushed back the encroaching frostbite, sending a prickling sensation of pure energy through her veins. Genevieve opened her eyes, gasping. For a fleeting second, the snow around her had melted, leaving a perfectly dry circle of earth where she lay. She wasn't just surviving. Something inside her was fighting back. With a ragged breath, Genevieve pushed herself up onto her hands and knees. She looked back at the towering black walls of Ethelgard. The sorrow in her chest began to harden, cooling into something sharp and unbreakable. She turned her back on the fortress and began to walk into the white abyss of the fjord. For 3 days, Genevieve walked through a landscape of white nightmare. The Howling Fjord was a jagged scar across the northern continent, filled with frozen lakes that cracked like gunfire and towering pines heavy with snow. Her bare feet were bruised and cut by unseen rocks, leaving a faint trail of blood that was quickly buried by the relentless snowfall. She should have died on the first night. By all biological laws governing the werewolf species, an omega exposed to 20 degree below zero temperatures without shelter or food would succumb to hypothermia within hours. But the heat inside her, that strange, pulsating furnace radiating from her unborn child, kept her moving. It felt as though she were possessed by a phantom strength, a furious will to live that wasn't entirely her own. On the fourth twilight, her borrowed strength finally began to fail. Hallucinations danced in the corners of her vision. She saw shadows detaching themselves from the trees, massive lupine shapes with glowing red eyes. She stumbled over an exposed root and fell hard onto the ice, crying out as her shoulder took the brunt of the impact. She couldn't get up. The heat in her belly was flickering out like a dying ember. "I'm sorry," she whispered to the snow, her breath creating brief, tragic clouds of steam. "I tried. I'm so sorry." A deep, rumbling growl echoed through the clearing. It wasn't a hallucination. Three massive wolves stepped out from the tree line. They were not from the Blackwood pack. Their coats were ragged, scarred, and completely white, blending perfectly with the winter hellscape. They were rogues, feral outcasts who hunted the fjord. The largest of the three, a monstrous beast missing half its left ear, stepped forward, snapping its jaws. It smelled blood. It smelled weakness. Genevieve tried to push herself backward, but her limbs were useless. The alpha rogue lunged, its jaws aimed straight for her throat. Instinct overrode exhaustion. A blinding, desperate panic seized Genevieve. She threw her hands up to protect her face, screaming a single, wordless sound of pure defiance. Boom! A shockwave of raw, kinetic energy exploded from Genevieve's body. It hit the massive rogue wolf in midair, throwing the 800-pound beast backward, as if it had been struck by a cannonball. It smashed into a pine tree with a sickening crunch, the trunk splintering under the impact. The other two wolves yelped, backing away in sheer terror. Genevieve collapsed, her vision going black. But before she lost consciousness completely, she felt the snow crunching beneath heavy leather boots. A man knelt beside her. He was older, with a beard woven with grey and a face weathered like old leather. "By the goddess," the man breathed, his voice rough with disbelief. He wasn't looking at the dead rogue wolf. He was looking at Genevieve's face. Specifically, her eyes. Genevieve couldn't see it, but in the reflection of the ice beside her, her normally dull brown irises were glowing with a brilliant, luminescent silver light. When she awoke, she was no longer freezing. She was lying on a thick bed of furs in a stone cavern, illuminated by roaring braziers. The smell of roasting meat and potent herbal salves filled the air. She bolted upright, panic instantly clutching her chest, her hands flying to her stomach. "The pup is safe, girl!" a gruff voice called out from the shadows. The man who had found her stepped into the light. He wore armor made of boiled leather and steel plates, the insignia of a long-forgotten crest, a crescent moon pierced by a sword etched onto his chest. "Where am I?" Genevieve asked, her voice raspy. "You are in the Obsidian Keep, or what's left of it," the man said, crossing his arms. "I am Kaelin, commander of the Silent Guard. We are the outcasts, the rogues, the banished. Like you." He stared at her intently, his eyes narrowing. "Though, perhaps not exactly like you. What is your name?"
"Genevieve."
"Just Genevieve. I was a scullery maid in Ethelgard. I have no family name." Kaelin walked closer, pulling a small, ancient, leather-bound book from his belt. He flipped open the brittle pages. "3 days ago, my scouts found a girl banished by Silas Blackwood. They said she was an Omega, pregnant and weak, sent to die. But when I found you in the snow, you didn't look like an Omega, Genevieve. I saw what you did to that rogue. I saw your eyes." Genevieve shrank back. "I don't know what happened. I thought I was dying. There was this heat."
"It is not heat," Kaelin corrected gently, kneeling beside her pallet. "It is the ancient marrow, the royal blood."
Genevieve scoffed, a bitter laugh escaping her lips. "Royal? I scrubbed pots in the kitchens. I am the lowest of the low. Silas made sure to remind me of that before he threw me away. Silas Blackwood is a usurper, blindly sitting on a stolen throne," Kaelin growled, sudden fury in his voice. He opened the book and turned it toward her.
It showed a hand-drawn illustration of a wolf with silver eyes, standing beneath a crescent moon. 200 years ago, the House of Valerius ruled this entire continent. They were the true royals, gifted by the moon goddess with silver fire, the ability to command the earth, to heal, and to bind the packs in true unity. The Blackwoods led a massacre. They slaughtered the royal family in their sleep to steal the territory. They thought they wiped the bloodline out. Kaelin pointed a calloused finger at Genevieve's collarbone. Genevieve looked down. There, beneath the dirt and grime, a birthmark she had possessed her entire life, a pale, crescent-shaped scar, was faintly glowing with the same silver light she had supposedly emitted in the forest. "You are no scullery maid, Genevieve," Kaelin said, dropping to one knee and bowing his head in absolute reverence. "You are the last descendant of the House of Valerius, and the child you carry, it is not just an Alpha's heir. It is a royal Alpha, the first in 2 centuries. The magic of your pregnancy is forcing your dormant bloodline to awaken." Genevieve sat in stunned silence. The room spun. The abuse, the starvation, the rejection. Her entire life had been a lie constructed over a genocide. She touched her stomach, realizing that the man who had ordered her death was the very man whose ancestors had slaughtered hers. "Silas doesn't know," she whispered, the realization crashing over her. "No," Kaelin smiled, a grim, dangerous expression. He threw away a piece of coal, not realizing it was the only diamond left in the world. 4 months passed in the hidden sanctuary of the Obsidian Keep, the subterranean fortress, built into the cavernous depths of the northern mountains, had been the secret refuge of the Silent Guard, wolves who had remained loyal to the memory of the Valerius royals. There were nearly 300 of them, exiled warriors, rogue families, and scholars who had fled the oppressive regimes of the Blackwoods and the Crofts. Under Kaelin's strict mentorship, Genevieve transformed. The royal biology awakening within her body worked at an astonishing rate. Her pregnancy, now visibly advanced, did not make her frail. It made her terrifyingly powerful. The silver fire in her blood healed her old scars, sharpened her senses beyond that of a normal werewolf, and granted her a commanding presence that required no spoken words. When she walked through the caverns, seasoned warriors instinctively bared their throats in submission. She was no longer the weeping girl begging for Silas's mercy. Her hair, once dull and matted, now flowed like liquid night, and her brown eyes were permanently flecked with silver. She spent her days learning the history of her ancestors, mastering the tactical maps of the continent, and training. "Again!" Kaelin barked, circling her in the training ring. Genevieve, heavily pregnant but moving with a lethal, fluid grace, parried the wooden staff Kaelin swung at her head. She dropped low, sweeping her leg to knock him off balance, and pressed the tip of her own staff against his throat before he hit the ground. Kaelin chuckled, coughing dust as he looked up at her. "Your center of gravity has shifted, yet you use the added weight to anchor your strikes." "Good." The Valerius kings fought fiercely, but the queens, they were the executioners. Genevieve offered him a hand, pulling the burly commander to his feet. She felt a sharp kick against her ribs and smiled, placing a hand on her belly. "He's restless today. He wants out of this cave just as much as I do." "He will have his kingdom, my queen," Kaelin said, his tone turning serious. He gestured toward the war room. "Come, we have news from the south." Inside the war room, a large topographical map of the territories was spread across a stone table. Several of Kaelin's top lieutenants were gathered, their faces grim. Arthur Pendleton, an elder scholar who had escaped Æthelgard a month prior, stepped forward. He bowed deeply to Genevieve. "My queen, The news from Æthelgard is dire. The land is rejecting Silas Blackwood. Genevieve leaned over the table. Explain. The true royals were connected to the earth, Arthur explained, pointing to the sprawling green areas on the map that represented the Blackwood territory. Without a Valerius on the throne, the magic that sustains the forests and the rivers begins to fail. It was a slow decay over 200 years, but when Silas formally rejected you, when he cast out the last living royal, he severed the final thread holding the territory together. The crops are failing, a scout added. The winter has not broken, even though it is well past spring. Sickness is spreading among the lower ranks of the pack. Silas is losing control. To maintain order, he has become a tyrant. He and Arabella rule through terror. They execute anyone who speaks against them. A cold fury settled in Genevieve's chest. She thought of the innocent Omegas and the children in the lower districts of Æthelgard, suffering under the harsh winter she had been thrown into. She thought of Arabella, wearing velvet and laughing while people starved. He thinks his alliance with Crimson Ridge will save him, Caelan noted, tracing a line between the two territories. Arabella's father, Alpha Croft, has sent a garrison of his own warriors to Æthelgard to help Silas enforce martial law. It's an occupation, not an alliance, Genevieve said sharply, her strategic mind working. Silas traded his pack's sovereignty for a bride. His people must see that. They are beginning to, Arthur said. Whispers are spreading. Legends of the silver-eyed queen returning from the dead. We have been sending emissaries to the neighboring border packs. When they hear you survived, and that you carry the true heir, they are ready to defect. They are just waiting for a sign. Genevieve walked away from the table, staring into the roaring fire of the hearth. For months, she had focused solely on survival, on understanding the power coursing through her veins and protecting her unborn child. But looking at the fire, she realized that survival was no longer enough. Her people were dying. Her homeland was rotting under the rule of a man who cared for nothing but his own ego. She turned back to her council, her eyes flashing a blinding, solid silver. The air in the room grew heavy, charged with ozone and ancient power. We wait no longer, Genevieve declared, her voice echoing with a dual resonance, her own and the deep, ancestral hum of the queens who came before her. Silas thought he buried a secret in the snow. It is time we show him what a seed can do when it is planted in the dark. What are your orders, Queen Genevieve? Caelan asked, his eyes shining with a fierce, loyal pride. Send word to the border packs. Tell them to abandon their posts and rally at the edge of the Howling Fjord. Tell them the House of Valerius calls its banners. She placed both hands firmly on her pregnant stomach, her jaw set like stone. I am going to take back my throne, and I am going to make Silas Blackwood kneel before the weakling he rejected. While the Obsidian Keep thrived with the warmth of a reborn dynasty, Æthelgard was suffocating under a blanket of endless, unnatural winter. The land itself was protesting the usurper. The rivers beneath the mountain had frozen solid, the hunting grounds were barren, and a strange, wasting sickness had begun to claim the weakest of the pack's children. Silas Blackwood paced the length of his grand solar, his heavy, fur-lined cloak doing little to stave off the biting chill that seemed to seep through the very stones of his castle. He was exhausted. Dark circles bruised the skin beneath his golden eyes. He had sacrificed the woman he once loved for the sake of stability, yet his pack had never been more unstable. Stop pacing like a caged beast, Silas, Arabella drawled from a velvet chaise lounge near the hearth. She was casually filing her nails, seemingly unaffected by the freezing temperature. It shows weakness, the servants talk. Let them talk, Silas snapped, slamming his fist against an oak table. The southern storehouses are nearly empty. Three more sentries deserted their posts last night. And Lord Richard Stirling, my own Master of Defense, refuses to meet my eye during council. Something is poisoning this pack from the inside out. Arabella rolled her eyes, standing up and wrapping her arms around his waist from behind. You are too soft. If Stirling is acting treacherous, execute him. Mount his head on a pike in the courtyard. Fear is the only language these starving mutts understand. My father's enforcer, Gideon, arrives tomorrow with 200 Crimson Ridge warriors. We will cull the weak and enforce order. Silas closed his eyes, leaning into her touch, desperate for an anchor. He didn't see the cruel, calculating smirk on Arabella's lips. She didn't care about Æthelgard's survival. She only cared about bending it to her will. Deep beneath the castle, in the ancestral crypts where the Blackwood dead were buried, the poison Silas feared was already spreading. Lord Richard Stirling, a distinguished veteran with a scarred jaw and a reputation for unshakable honor, stood in the damp shadows. He held a flickering torch, his breath pluming in the frigid air. From behind, the stone sarcophagus of Silas's grandfather, Arthur Pendleton, emerged. The elderly scholar looked ragged, but carried an air of absolute authority. "You are taking a grave risk returning here, Arthur," Richard whispered harshly, his hand resting on the pommel of his silver-forged broadsword. "Silas has a bounty of 50,000 gold pieces on your head." "And what good is gold when the land yields no grain, Richard?" Arthur countered, stepping closer. "You know why this winter doesn't end. You know the old legends. The Blackwood stole this land, but they never truly commanded it." "Legends are stories for pups," Richard scoffed, though his voice lacked conviction. "Are they?" Arthur reached into his heavy woolen tunic and produced a small, crystal vial. Inside, suspended in a clear liquid, was a single drop of luminescent silver blood. It pulsed with a warm, ambient light, casting a celestial glow against the dark, oppressive walls of the crypt. Richard gasped, stumbling back a step. The ambient magic emanating from the vial instantly warmed his freezing skin. His inner wolf, usually proud and dominant, whimpered in sudden overwhelming reverence. "By the goddess, that is royal marrow, the silver fire." But the Valerius line was extinguished. "Not completely," Arthur said, his eyes shining with tears of triumph. Silas Blackwood held the last royal heir in his arms, and in his blind arrogance, he threw her into the howling fjord to die. But the fjord did not claim her. The earth protected its queen. Genevieve lives. And the child she carries, the true Alpha, is awakening her power. Richard stared at the vial, the pieces of the puzzle violently snapping together in his mind. The unnatural winter, the failure of the crops, the absolute, unyielding cold. The land was mourning its rejected queen. "Silas has doomed us all," Richard whispered, terror and awe warring in his chest. He looked up at Arthur, his jaw setting with sudden resolve. "Arabella's father is sending an occupation force tomorrow. If they take the garrison, Silas becomes a puppet, and Æthelgard becomes a slave state. What does the Queen require of me?" "When the time comes," Arthur said, placing a hand on the veteran's shoulder, "open the iron gates." Miles away, in the heart of the Obsidian Keep, Genevieve stood on a balcony overlooking the massive cavern floor. Below her, nearly 1,000 wolves were gathered. The defectors had poured in from the borderlands, drawn by the whispers of the silver-eyed savior. Genevieve was now in her 8th month of pregnancy. She wore armor forged for her by the keep's master smiths, lightweight, gleaming steel that accommodated her swollen belly, paired with a cloak of pure white fur. The physical toll of carrying a royal alpha was immense, but the magic within her veins kept her upright, radiating an aura of untouchable majesty. Kaelin stepped beside her, his face grim but proud. "They are ready, my queen. The scouts report that Gideon's forces are a day's march from Æthelgard. If we wait, Silas will have reinforcements." Genevieve placed a protective hand over her stomach. The child kicked, a sharp, strong movement that sent a ripple of silver energy down her arms. She looked out at the sea of faces looking up at her. Families, hardened warriors, rogues who had found a purpose. They were not fighting for a tyrant. They were fighting for the very soul of the pack. "We do not hide in the shadows any longer, Kaelin," Genevieve said, her voice clear and ringing with absolute certainty. "We march at dawn. We will not sneak through the forests. We will take the main road. Let them see the storm they created." The dawn broke, but the sky remained a bruised, sullen grey. Yet, as the massive wooden doors of the Obsidian Keep ground open, a strange phenomenon occurred. Genevieve stepped out into the brutal cold of the howling fjord. As her leather boots touched the permafrost, the ice cracked and instantly melted. A wave of heat, localized entirely around her, pushed back the biting wind. Where she walked, tiny, impossible shoots of green grass broke through the frozen earth, living for just a second before the winter claimed them again. The land was greeting its queen. Behind her marched a formidable army. Kaelin rode at her right flank, his giant grey wolf form padding silently through the snow. Behind them were hundreds of seasoned fighters, their faces painted with the crescent moon crest. There were no war drums, no shouting, just the terrifying, synchronized crunch of a thousand boots and paws marching with absolute purpose. News of an approaching army reached Æthelgard by midday. Silas, standing on the battlements with Arabella and Lord Richard Stirling, peered through a brass spyglass. In the distance, cutting through the snow-laden whispering pines, a dark mass was moving toward the fortress. "Rogues!" Silas spat, a mixture of relief and disgust in his tone. "A pathetic uprising of strays. They probably heard about the food shortages and think they can raid our stores." "Let me take the vanguard, Alpha," a deep voice rumbled. Donovan Hayes, Silas's beta, and a man renowned for his brutal efficiency in combat, stepped forward. He was a massive wall of muscle, fiercely loyal to the Blackwood name. "I will take 300 men to the Whispering Pines and crush them before they even see the castle walls. We will paint the snow with their blood." "Do it," Arabella smiled, her eyes gleaming with malice. "And Donovan? Bring me the head of whoever is leading them. I want a new centerpiece for the dining hall." Donovan bowed and descended the stairs. Within the hour, the heavy iron gates of Æthelgard groaned open, and Donovan led his strike force out into the tundra. They met at the edge of the Whispering Pines. The wind howled, whipping snow into blinding vortexes. Donovan raised his massive warhammer, signaling his men to halt. He squinted through the whiteout, expecting a disorganized mob of starving outcasts. Instead, the blizzard parted, revealing an immaculate shield wall of boiled leather and steel. Kaelin's silent guard stood in perfect formation, their weapons drawn, absolutely silent. The discipline was unnerving. "Blackwood forces!" Kaelin's voice boomed across the clearing. "Lay down your arms and clear the road. You face the wrath of the True House." Donovan laughed, a harsh, barking sound. "You face the beta of Æthelgard, old man. We yield to no one. Attack!" Donovan's men surged forward, a tidal wave of roaring wolves and armed warriors. But before the two lines could clash, the ground violently trembled. A pulse of kinetic, silver energy exploded from the center of the rebel army. It hit the charging Blackwood forces like a physical wall. Men were thrown backward, Wolves scrambled on the ice, whining in sudden supernatural terror. The air pressure dropped so rapidly that Donovan's ears popped. The rebel shield wall parted down the middle. Genevieve walked through the gap. She didn't run. She didn't draw a weapon. She simply walked, her heavy white cloak billowing behind her, her pregnant belly proudly preceding her. Donovan froze, his war hammer slipping from his grasp. He recognized her. Every wolf in Ethelgard knew the face of the scullery maid the Alpha had brutally rejected. But this was not the frail, weeping girl from the winter solstice. Genevieve's eyes were blazing with a solid, blinding, silver light. The aura of the royal Alpha, radiating from her and her unborn child, was so suffocatingly powerful that it triggered the deepest, most primal instincts in the approaching warriors. It wasn't the harsh, forced Alpha command of Silas Blackwood. It was the ancestral call of the earth itself, demanding reverence. "Donovan Hayes," Genevieve spoke. Her voice was not loud, but it echoed in the mind of every single wolf in the clearing. It carried the weight of 100 generations of Valerius queens. "You are marching against your own land. You are marching against your true Alpha. Kneel!" She didn't force them. She didn't use kinetic violence. She just unleashed the pure, undiluted gravity of her bloodline. Donovan's legs gave out. The sheer spiritual pressure of standing against the Silver Queen was tearing his mind apart. With a ragged gasp, he dropped to his knees in the snow. He bared his throat, his inner wolf submitting completely and totally. One by one, the 300 warriors of the Ethelgard vanguard followed their beta. Weapons clattered to the ice. Men fell to their knees, bowing their heads, tears streaming down their faces as the ancient magic washed over them, instantly curing the lingering sicknesses in their lungs and warming their freezing bones. Genevieve didn't smile. She looked past the kneeling army, her glowing eyes fixed on the distant dark towers of Ethelgard. "Stand up, Donovan," she ordered gently. The massive beta rose slowly, his eyes wide with absolute awe. "My queen, we thought you were dead. Silas told us." "Silas told you a convenient lie," Genevieve interrupted. "Turn your men around, Beta Donovan. Join my guard. We have a usurper to dethrone." Back in the grand solar of Ethelgard, Silas was pouring himself a glass of crimson wine, a smug smile on his face. He expected Donovan to return triumphant within the hour. The heavy oak doors burst open. A bloodied scout fell onto the stone floor, gasping for air, his eyes wide with a terror Silas had never seen before. "Speak, fool," Arabella hissed, standing up. "Where is Donovan? Are the rogues dead?" "They didn't fight," the scout sobbed, clutching his chest. "Donovan didn't swing his hammer. The entire vanguard. They kneeled." Silas dropped his glass. The crystal shattered, spilling dark red wine across the floor like blood. "Kneeled? To who? To Kaelin?" "No, Alpha," the scout whispered, looking up with a mixture of horror and awe. "To the Silver Queen. Genevieve is alive, and she is at the gates." Inside the impenetrable fortress of Ethelgard, the atmosphere had mutated from tyrannical confidence into suffocating panic. Silas Blackwood stood frozen, staring at the shattered crystal goblet at his feet. The dark wine seeped into the grout of the stone floor, looking entirely too much like blood. "The Silver Queen," Silas muttered, the words tasting like ash in his mouth. "It's impossible. I felt the mate bond break. I watched her bleed on this very floor. An Omega cannot survive the howling fjord, let alone raise an army." Arabella Croft sneered, her beautiful face twisting into a mask of ugly, feral desperation. "She isn't an Omega, you fool. Did you never question the strange warmth she carried? The way she healed from the bruises you gave her? You had a Valerius in your bed, and you threw her away for me. For a brief second, Arabella's mask slipped, revealing the terrifying realization that her grand political marriage was tied to a sinking ship. But she quickly recovered, her eyes flashing yellow. No matter. She bleeds like anyone else. My father's enforcer has arrived. The heavy doors to the solar swung open, admitting Gideon. He was a colossal man, scarred and weathered, wearing the heavy crimson plate armor of his pack. Behind him marched 2 dozen elite warriors, their swords already drawn. "Alpha Silas," Gideon rumbled, his voice devoid of respect. "Your vanguard has defected. The rebel army is less than a mile from the outer walls. But Ethelgard is a fortress. We have the high ground, the reinforced iron gates, and boiling pitch ready on the battlements. We will break this queen against the stones." Silas nodded frantically, his golden eyes wide with a desperate need for control. "Yes, yes, of course. Secure the gates. Double the guard on the walls. If she tries to use this supposed royal magic to batter the doors, rain fire upon them." Outside, the storm had miraculously ceased. For the first time in months, the heavy, bruising clouds over Ethelgard parted, allowing a single, blinding shaft of pale winter sunlight to strike the snow. It illuminated Genevieve as she marched at the head of her newly expanded army. The 300 men of the Ethelgard vanguard now marched behind her, their loyalties completely rewritten by the ancestral call in their blood. Genevieve approached the towering black walls of the fortress. The sheer scale of Ethelgard was meant to intimidate, to make any approaching force feel small and insignificant. But Genevieve felt only a profound, vibrating connection to the stone itself. This castle was not built by the Blackwoods. According to the private journals of Lord Archibald Montgomery, the chief architect of the old era, the foundations of Ethelgard were laid by the first Valerius kings, infused with their silver magic to protect the realm. It was her house. She halted 100 yards from the massive iron-studded gates. High above, on the battlements, archers drew their bows, the tension in the bowstrings audible even from the ground. Genevieve looked up, her silver eyes glowing with a terrifying, calm intensity. She did not raise a shield. She simply placed a protective hand over her swollen stomach. "Open the gates, Silas!" Kaelin roared, stepping forward. "Yield the usurper's crown, and the queen will grant your people mercy." A harsh, mocking laugh echoed from the parapets. It was Gideon. "Mercy is for the weak, old man. Fire!" A volley of flaming arrows detached from the walls, whistling through the freezing air, directly toward Genevieve and her vanguard. Kaelin and Donovan moved to intercept, raising massive iron shields, but Genevieve simply raised her chin. A shockwave of pure, rippling, silver energy pulsed outward from her core. It wasn't just kinetic force, it was a manipulation of the very elements. The air in front of the rebel army rapidly condensed, forming a shimmering, translucent barrier of solid atmospheric pressure. The flaming arrows struck the invisible wall and shattered, their fires instantly snuffed out, the splintered wood falling harmlessly to the snow. A collective gasp echoed from the defending forces on the walls. Their bows faltered. "Are you cowards?" Gideon bellowed, striking a nearby archer across the jaw. "Load the pitch! Burn them alive!" But before the soldiers could tilt the massive cauldrons of boiling oil, a deep, grinding sound echoed from within the fortress walls. It was a sound that Silas Blackwood, watching from the high balcony of his solar, felt in the marrow of his bones. The locking mechanisms of the great iron gates were turning. "What is happening?" Silas screamed, rushing to the edge of the balcony. "Who gave the order to open the gates?" Down in the gatehouse, Lord Richard Stirling stood over the bodies of 3 Crimson Ridge guards, his broadsword dripping with fresh blood. He grabbed the massive iron winch and hauled it backward with all his werewolf strength. The gears screamed in protest, but they moved. "For the true royal!" Richard shouted, his voice echoing through the courtyard as the massive oak and iron doors slowly swung inward, revealing the vulnerable underbelly of Æthelgard to the Silver Queen. Gideon snarled, drawing a massive two-handed broadsword. "Treason! Slaughter them all!" He abandoned the battlements, rallying his 200 Crimson Ridge mercenaries and rushing down into the main courtyard to form a defensive line. Genevieve did not wait for them to organize. She walked through the open gates, her aura suffocating the air. The moment her boots touched the cobblestones of the inner courtyard, the stone beneath her feet began to crack and glow with a network of silver veins. Gideon charged with a feral roar, his men swarming behind him like a sea of red. Donovan and Kaelin prepared to meet them, but Genevieve stepped ahead. "Enough!" she commanded. She slammed the heel of her boot onto the glowing cobblestones. The earth violently answered its queen. Thick, massive roots of ancient, petrified wood, dormant for 2 centuries beneath the frost, erupted from the ground. They lashed out like colossal whips, wrapping around the ankles, waists, and wrists of the Crimson Ridge mercenaries. The roots hoisted the screaming soldiers into the air, disarming them and leaving them dangling helplessly above the courtyard. Gideon, utilizing his massive strength, managed to hack through the first root that grabbed him. He lunged at Genevieve, his sword raised for a killing blow. Genevieve didn't flinch. She locked her silver eyes onto his. "Sleep." The command carried the concentrated, undiluted power of the royal alpha tone. It hit Gideon's mind like a physical sledgehammer. The massive warrior's eyes rolled back in his head, his sword slipping from his numb fingers, and he collapsed onto the stones, deeply unconscious before his knees even hit the ground. Silence fell over the courtyard. The mighty Crimson Ridge occupation force had been neutralized in less than 60 seconds, without a single casualty on Genevieve's side. The Æthelgard defenders on the walls slowly lowered their weapons, entirely awe-struck. One by one, they descended from the battlements and knelt in the snow. Genevieve looked up at the high balcony. Silas stood there, his face entirely drained of blood, gripping the stone railing as if it were the only thing keeping him tethered to reality. Beside him, Arabella looked like a cornered viper. "Come down, Silas," Genevieve's voice carried perfectly across the vast courtyard, completely calm and completely lethal. "We have a bond to formally sever." The Great Hall of Æthelgard looked exactly as it had on the night of the winter solstice, yet the balance of power had violently shifted. The tapestries bearing the snarling black wolf of the Blackwood line hung in tatters, shredded by the intense atmospheric pressure of Genevieve's entry. The heavy oak tables were pushed aside. Genevieve walked down the center aisle, her silver eyes illuminating the gloom. Behind her walked Kaelin, Lord Richard Stirling, and Beta Donovan, the elite guard of the old regime, now the sword and shield of the new. Silas stood at the base of the high altar, exactly where he had stood when he condemned her to death. Arabella was at his side, trembling with a mixture of rage and terror. The Blackwood elders who had laughed at Genevieve months ago were now cowering against the far walls, their heads bowed in total submission. "Genevieve!" Silas choked out as she approached. He tried to puff out his chest, tried to summon the alpha aura that had defined his entire life, but it was useless. In the presence of a true royal, his dominance felt like a flickering candle in a hurricane. You survived. No thanks to you, Genevieve replied smoothly. She stopped 10 feet from him. She placed her hands on her pregnant belly. The child within her was quiet now, as if listening, waiting for its mother to claim their birthright. Silas's eyes darted to her stomach. The reality of what he had done, what he had thrown away, crashed over him like a tidal wave. The child, my heir. You carry the royal bloodline. We can fix this, Genevieve. We can undo the rejection. You are my mate. Together we can rule the entire continent. The Blackwoods and the House of Valerius, united. Arabella whipped her head around, staring at Silas in utter betrayal. You pathetic coward, you promised me this pack. Silence, Arabella, Silas snapped, desperately stepping toward Genevieve. Please, Genevieve, I didn't know. I was blind to your true nature. I was trying to protect the pack from starvation. Genevieve laughed, a cold, sharp sound that echoed off the vaulted ceilings. You were protecting your own fragile ego, Silas. You looked at a woman who loved you, who carried your flesh and blood, and you saw only a political liability. You did not reject me because I was weak. You rejected me because you are. I command you to listen to me, Silas roared, a frantic, desperate attempt to use his alpha tone. The sound washed over Genevieve and dissipated into nothingness. She tilted her head, looking at him with absolute pity. You hold no command over me, Silas. You hold no command over this land. Then I'll take it back, Arabella shrieked. With blinding speed, the Crimson Ridge Alpha's daughter drew a hidden dagger, coated in a dark, virulent wolfsbane poison. She lunged past Silas, aiming the blade directly for Genevieve's swollen stomach, intending to kill the true heir and the queen in one strike. Kaelin roared, lunging forward, but he was too far away. Genevieve didn't retreat. She didn't blink. As the poisoned blade came within an inch of her velvet dress, the silver crescent scar on her collarbone flared with a blinding, incandescent light. A localized blast of kinetic energy erupted from Genevieve's core, a violent, protective reflex from the unborn Royal Alpha. The shockwave hit Arabella in the chest, shattering her ribs and launching her backward through the air. She crashed violently into the high altar, the stone cracking under the impact. The dagger clattered uselessly to the floor. Arabella slumped to the ground, unconscious and broken. Silas fell to his knees, staring in sheer horror at the display of raw, untouchable power. His hands shook as he looked up at the woman he had once forced to scrub his floors. Silas Blackwood, Genevieve said, her voice echoing with the dual resonance of her ancestors. The air in the hall grew heavy, charged with the scent of ozone and blooming frost roses. For the crime of usurpation, for the starvation of your people, and for the attempted murder of the royal heir, you are hereby stripped of your alpha status. Silas gasped, clutching his chest as if he had been physically struck. To be stripped of alpha status by a royal decree was to have the spiritual dominance physically ripped from his soul. His inner wolf whimpered, shrinking down into an agonizing, permanent submission. Please, Silas wept, pressing his forehead against the cold obsidian floor. Mercy. Have mercy, Genevieve. I will give you the exact mercy you gave me, Genevieve said coldly. She pointed toward the heavy iron doors at the end of the hall. You are stripped of your name, your titles, and your pack. You and your Crimson Ridge bride are banished to the Howling Fjord. You leave with only the clothes on your backs. If you are found within my borders by sunrise, you will be hunted. The elders gasped, but no one dared speak against the queen. It was absolute, poetic justice. Lord Richard Stirling stepped forward, gesturing to the guards. Rough hands seized Silas and the unconscious Arabella, dragging them out of the great hall exactly as Genevieve had been dragged out months prior. Silas's screams for forgiveness echoed down the stone corridors, fading into nothingness as the heavy doors slammed shut. Genevieve took a deep breath, the massive weight of the conflict finally lifting from her shoulders. She walked slowly up the steps of the dais. She bypassed the ornate, velvet-lined wooden chair that Silas had used. Instead, she walked to the back of the altar, placing her hand against a solid slab of rough-hewn stone embedded in the wall. As her silver magic touched the stone, it began to shift and reform, the ancient magic of the Valerius line, carving it into a magnificent, high-backed throne of polished obsidian, laced with veins of glowing silver. Genevieve turned and sat upon the throne of her ancestors. The moment she took her seat, the oppressive, unnatural winter that had choked Æthelgard finally broke. Outside, the dark clouds shattered, revealing a brilliant, crystal-clear blue sky. The permafrost melted in a matter of seconds, sending rushing water back into the frozen rivers. Green shoots erupted from the soil, blooming instantly into vibrant winter roses. The land was breathing again. The queen had returned. Caelan, Donovan, Richard, and every single wolf in the great hall dropped to one knee, bowing their heads in profound reverence. Genevieve placed her hands on her stomach, feeling a strong, rhythmic kick from the true air. She smiled, a genuine, warm expression that reached her glowing silver eyes. The age of tyrants was over. The era of the silver moon had begun. And there you have it, the epic, jaw-dropping conclusion to the Alpha rejected her. Silas learned the hard way that true power doesn't come from cruelty, and throwing away the woman who loved him was the most fatal mistake in Æthelgard's history. Genevieve's transformation from a broken, banished maid to the untouchable Silver Queen is a masterclass in karma and claiming your true worth. The land is healed, the tyrant is banished to the freezing wasteland, and the true royal heir is safe to inherit a united kingdom. If this story of ultimate revenge, secret royal bloodlines, and magical awakening kept you on the edge of your seat, smash that like button right now. Share this video with your friends who love a good werewolf romance drama, and make sure you subscribe to our channel so you never miss another incredible story. Drop a comment below. Did Silas get what he deserved? See you next time.